Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Ron Wolfley is going to swing by the studio today. Of course, Ron Culler, a commentator for the Arizona Cardinals, and has his morning show that he co-hosts over on 98.7 FM. I'm actually going to sit with Ron and do a media podcast with him afterwards and talk to him about all things around, his life. So it's pretty complex. And I don't know how deep of a dive we're going to do this time. I'll just tell you, having known Ron through the years, I need a couple of hours. I don't know if I have a couple of hours, but we're going to do a podcast that we'll post tomorrow. The college football playoff title game. So last night, actually, this is good that I have my phone in front of me. I text Eric. You have your phone in front of you over there?
I don't. It's at my desk.
My text to you last night.
You text me around the
8:45 p.m. Is this a compelling game? Question mark.
That was early in the third quarter.
Response from you. Do you mind if I read your response?
No, not at all.
Response from you. Unfortunately, no. But it's close enough, the fourth quarter could be good.
Ding, 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 ding.
Eric wins. I put just finishing a column ripping CFP. January 9th, college football equals emoji poop. So here's the thing about last night. Here's where we get it wrong in our industry quite a bit. We are coming out today saying the greatest game, the most amazing game. There were 20 punts last night. That does not equate to an amazing game. It doesn't. If you're watching last night in the first half, as I was, it was, wow, Clemson looks scared to death. Alabama's going to win this game by 40. This game's going to be nothing, but I'm going to stick with it just to see how it goes. Fortunately, I was flipping around to all the options. By the end of the night, ESPN had 12 different options on the game. I made it over to the Bill Walton channel for maybe 5 seconds and couldn't get out of there fast enough. And I like Bill. Bill's a friend, actually, a broadcast partner years ago. But come on, that's not – if that's what they're going to do with Bill, that's embarrassing for Bill. And I would tell him that if I saw him, and he would disagree with me. It's fine. I went over to the Feinbaum channel. So Feinbaum channel is very – if you don't know who Paul Feinbaum is, he is the – he's the voice of Southeastern Conference football when it comes to talk. And love Paul, don't like Paul. I think Paul has been brilliant in that he's built a platform. And if you know his backstory, he's only been doing it for about 5 years. He thought he was going to be out of the business entirely in 2010, 2011. But he's made his mark doing SEC. So I turned over to the Feinbaum channel. That was okay. Eventually, I just went back to watching the game itself. But that's what kept me entertained in the first quarter and second quarter, because the game was not good. Anybody who says that was a good game, you have to include all four quarters. It was a good quarter and a half. Do you think that's about right for you, E?
It was a good second half.
You thought the whole second half was good?
Yeah, I put on Twitter last night, I don't know why the CFP only gives the finals teams a week off in between their games. Maybe give them 2 weeks off, sort of like
between
the Super Bowl.
No.
But if they're playing the game earlier, they can get more time off. Give them less time between the end of their season and the first playoff game, and then space that time out between the semifinal and the final, and you'll probably get better games. Granted, we have had two compelling back-to-back Clemson-Alabama championship games.
So the committee's gotten that right.
I read your column today, and you said that clearly Ohio State and Washington weren't deserving of the four.
Yes.
But that's only based off one game. You have to take the whole body of work into context. Because when you look at Brad, the semifinals, they've mostly been blowouts. But those are the four most deserving teams.
These people that want to expand to six and to eight, no.
No.
No. And I'm sorry, those that want football, I love college more than the NFL.
As do
okay?
I.
But I'm sitting there last night saying, man, it's hard to get ramped back up for college football, and this game's not good.
And it's not short. Last night was a very long game.
Okay?
Very long game.
And I didn't feel that in the second half. In the first half, again, when there's a game that has 20 punts, any of you who says that's a great game, you're lying. That's not a great game. You don't punt the ball 20 times between two teams and call it great football. That's just not the case. I didn't feel the length of the game until after the game was finished. It was like, wow, look up. Look at what time it is. Oh, my gosh. So I guess it captured me at the end. You know, I'm watching Deshaun Watson. I went back to something I said on the TV show last week that some people disagreed with, that I don't see Deshaun Watson as a Bruce Arians quarterback. Deshaun Watson, after the game, did declare for the NFL draft, for those that wanted it made official, like you didn't think he was going to. It's hard for me to believe a quarterback at North Carolina could be the number one quarterback taken in this year's draft, and that Deshaun Watson is third. You know, I'm watching the game, and there's speed all over the place. There's vicious hits all over the place. We have a referee who's trying to be Ed Hockley light, or maybe aspiring to be Ed Hockley heavy. I don't think they know what targeting is in the college game. How many targeting calls were not called?
And several.
And here's the thing. That's just football. That's letting them play. No, we're not taking the brain stuff serious when that happens. Well, you're just no fun at all. No, I'm fine. I'm telling you, it was a great, great fourth quarter.
I found it interesting too, Brad. They decided to review a lot of calls that were really, there was no need to review them.
Right.
But on
you're
the
right.
helmet to helmets, there needs to be a rule next year that if you miss a call on a helmet to helmet, they can go back and throw the flag. Because last night, Mike Williams almost got knocked out of the game in the first quarter. Luckily, he came back and had a huge
Should he have
half.
Come back was my question. Well, when I saw that play, should he have? It's the national title game. That's where we got to be. Yeah, are you the guy drinking your dinner out of a straw when you're 40? That's what happens on these plays. That's what we want to see. That's football. You can't have it both ways.
Especially when they slow the play down. Oh. And you see how, I mean, it's
Deshaun
just.
Deshaun Watson took some hits last night.
It's the crown of the helmet to the crown of the helmet.
Yes, yes.
Take a sledgehammer and put on a football helmet and I'll come at you and I'll hit you. That's what it feels like.
You know, I'm not taking the fun out of the game. I'm just being truthful here. Truth is, that was not a great game. It was a great quarter and a half to two quarters, and that's it.
The one thing, Brad, and I promise I'll get off your platform
here.
It's the fine. One thing that really
You're
stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear when Chris Fowler in the fourth quarter said Alabama had only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns the entire season? Just think about that for a minute. Alabama, until last night, because Clemson rushed for 2. In 14 games, Alabama allowed 3 rushing touchdowns.
What was the number that I saw that Alabama had not allowed 21 points in a fourth quarter in a Nick Saban game in like 5 years?
I believe it. They went a whole month without allowing a touchdown this year in a 4-game stretch. They didn't allow a single touchdown.
Yeah, but how much of that is bad
teams? It doesn't matter. Yeah. Think about that.
If they're bad
you
teams.
You do not. But you don't allow, in this pass happy spread offense, you have a defense that can completely take another team out, and they did for the most part in the first half.
All right, hang on.
And then in the second half, Clemson won the game. Props to them.
Okay, so I'm over on the Crimson Tide. I'm on their schedule. I want to see this. So the stretch you're talking about where they didn't allow a touchdown.
Yeah, there was some stretch this
okay,
year.
Okay, I got,
they didn't
I got
allow
it.
A touchdown.
I got it. At LSU, 10-0. Mississippi State at home, 51-3. Chattanooga Mocs, 31-3. So, I mean, if it was USC, well, they also had a shutout of Kent State this year. Now, when they did what they did to USC, winning that game convincingly, 52-6, that's something else. I mean, they allowed Western Kentucky 10 points. I guess my thing is Dabo Swinney did not allow his team to quit. Would we agree that in that first half, that game looked like it was going to be blowout city? Would we agree on that? Were you there with me on that one?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
But as the game progressed, you could tell Jalen Hurts was not
a great thrower.
He just wasn't comfortable.
But Deshaun Watson wasn't comfortable. He was horrible.
He was not good.
He was not good.
And I agree, a close game doesn't make an instant classic. And last night it was a close game. It was a compelling fourth quarter. But I don't think from the kickoff, the first quarter till the final kickoff that ended the game, it won't go down.
The Rose Bowl was better as a game.
It was.
If we're talking four quarters this year, right? That's why the thing about the bowl games, the last Saints game, you're playing out on January 9th. I didn't know anybody yesterday that I had bumped into that said, what do you think about tonight's game? Maybe one person on Facebook, but who instant messaged me, but I can't think of anybody else. They were all talking about how great Aaron Rodgers was, the Aaron Rodgers throw to Randall Cobb where he had to keep himself live in the pocket, the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary. They were talking about, you know, the playoff games and then looking ahead to the Cowboys and Packers. There was very little talk. College football, remember, their games start the third week in August. It's not like the NFL where they have this phony crap that they put out there in August and try to pretend it's real football and charge fans, you know, it's just ludicrous prices to watch garbage. The NFL does that. The NFL, though, when it becomes January 1st is college football. This isn't old guy get off my lawn. January 1st should be, and this year with the games on Sundays, I get it. But the Rose Bowl is still going to be the granddaddy. These two CFP playoff games, play those on the Saturday of Christmas week. Instead of sitting around, because they're going to get a number, it's all about what kind of ratings are you going to get. Oh, you're asking these poor student athletes to miss out on Christmas. No, I'm thinking they'd rather be on display in the national semifinal. Well, they have finals and classes. Yeah, they usually do till about the 15th of December. That still gives you a week. Okay. All this is, these final three games, is a freaking money grab. It's fine to have one versus two. It's fine. But this playoff stuff, Clemson, Alabama are probably going to meet next year. ASU is a 200-1 odds, according to Westgate in Vegas today. Arizona's 500-1 to make it. And what do you know? Alabama is the favorite once again. I'm not raining on anybody's parade. It's just move these games up, get out of the NFL's way. The NFL will always be king in January. Last night didn't feel very special. I don't know if it was Chris Fowler calling the game. You know, I didn't have, and I know you're not a Musburger guy, but when it's a big game, give me Vernon Lundquist, give me Brent Musburger. I understand there's got to be some new voices that come along. Give me Joe Tessitore. I just felt like last night was kind of like, well, yeah, it's you know, we got a game here, and it's a pretty good game, and but it wasn't as compelling as the Rose Bowl. It just wasn't. Ron Wolfley on the other side, on the Cardinals. And we got to talk about ASU and U of A. Bobby Hurley said something in the locker room that got picked up towards U of A. And then Sean Miller responded yesterday. ASU plays at U of A on Thursday. Eric and I are going to go to Tucson to check the game out. We'll talk about that in about 10 minutes. Darrell Washington, yeah, you remember him. He's back in the news cycle. And Anu Solomon, too. That's all straight ahead. Ron Wolfley joins us now in studio from 98.7 FM, Doug and Wolf in the mornings. And of course, you know him as the venerable color analyst with Dave Pasch on the Cardinals. He is now not working because the Cardinals, as we all know, season just went. But you look good.
Boy, that's brutal right there. I mean,
you look
doing,
good.
Buddy? How you doing? Oh, good.
Yes. What do you mean, you sore?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm sore every day. I'm 54 years old, going on 74, of course.
How did you handle a season that went like it did when everything that was built up through all or nothing, how did you handle it?
None.
On the air, how did you handle it?
A lot of therapy. And therapy for me is walking around the compound just speaking out loudly.
To yourself.
Speaking out loud, walking around going, of course, you know what, they have Carson Palmer as their quarterback, of course. Carson Palmer's very good, of course. I mean, it was unbelievable to me how it all unfolded this year. And the reason why it's unbelievable is because they were 13-3 last year, and they had a better roster this year.
So now, what was the problem?
You tell me, Bradley. I honestly don't know what the problem. I know this much. It existed inside that locker room.
Okay, so this is a locker room issue that is correctable.
That's what I believe.
Correctable.
I don't know. Is it correctable?
Okay.
You got to tell me what the problem is. I think I think there are guys in that locker room that know what the problem is. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of them because I'm not in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They've done a good job of not really talking about what it is. But I will tell you, you listen to Honey Badger, you listen to Tyron Mathieu, right? And Tyron talking about what? You know what? We've got to do a better job of being accountable here, and we're sweeping a lot of things under the rug. Anytime a player, especially of his caliber, talks like that, that tells me there's probably something going on inside that locker room. And what that is, who knows? Is it fixable? Who knows?
Say, I'm of the opinion the window is not closed when we talk about team of roster. You look at it and say, okay, next year they're not going to have a shot at the postseason. I think that's completely false. I think they do return most of what is intact. As any NFL roster.
You think the window's open for a playoff?
I think the window is, I'm going to say wide open, but I looked at what happened over this last weekend.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Some of these teams with the quarterbacks chewed up, spit out, as bad as the special teams were?
No doubt.
Is the window closed in your opinion?
No way. No way. I'm with you on that one too. But you got to remember, I'm an optimist, right? I am an optimist.
So what am I?
I have no idea.
Besides, I sit in here and I pound on this team. Team
exactly.
Nothing. Not team all, team nothing.
Yes.
You know, but the window is not closed.
It's not closed. And the reason why it's not closed is, to me, you still have a quarterback. You still have a quarterback, and you still have a nucleus of pretty good defensive players. So anytime you've got that combination, to me, you got a quarterback and you've got a nucleus of defenders, and they do. Yeah, I think you've got a chance of actually making some noise next year. Now, again, am I going to go into next season believing that? No way. That's just there's no way I'm going to go in there and think, oh, they're headed for the playoffs, because I think that was part of the problem this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone came in, everybody came in, and I typically am red flag, red flag, red flag. Don't go there. Don't talk about the playoffs. Yeah. Don't talk about playoffs.
Forget about what happened in the past.
Forget about all that,
yeah,
right?
Right.
I mean, that is me. But
me too.
Even I had to sit there and say, this is a loaded roster. They won 13 games last year. Why wouldn't they be a better team? They fixed their biggest problem on the edge. By the way, that was proven to be the case. Number one in sacks in the National Football League. From a team that had to blitz, had to generate, number 19 in sacks per attempt last year, had to go after you to actually get to the quarterback. Now all of a sudden they're rushing four guys. They led the league in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
They fixed the problem. Their biggest problem was just one other problem. All of a sudden, the finger in the dam, they had other problems elsewhere.
Yeah.
And what those problems are, I don't know.
Yeah.
Special teams, we can say, definitely.
Okay, so let's run through these quickly. Larry Fitzgerald, he sits across me and says, what do you think I should do? What do you tell him?
Yeah, Larry, well, first of all, nobody can tell you whether or not you're going to retire and whether you should retire. Only a player knows that, right? Only you would know that.
What
as
do
a
you
man,
think
Bradley,
when you watch him play?
When I watch him play,
he
come on.
He should still play.
He should still play, but that's a personal, that is a personal decision that every man has got to make. Is a right to make it any way he wants to. We can't understand. How could you walk away? How could you possibly walk away?
I can understand, though. You know, Ron, I had Kurt Warner on in November, and he said, my opinion, Larry's done at the end of this year, that the wear and tear of the game and the injuries, and he's been relatively injury-free, but your body just starts to tell you.
Yeah.
That's his opinion. I completely see that, even though I see the stat sheet that shows him at the top of the heap in front of Antonio Brown and everybody else. I get it, but the body, you would know this better. Can I get myself jacked up next August all the way through next January for another run at this?
Well, of course you can. Of course you can. I mean, think about it. It's not like Larry Fitzgerald, a guy who has taken care of his body his entire career. It's not like he's suddenly going to be incapable of playing.
But when it goes, does it go?
Well,
does it go?
Can I just say this, and I love you, Fitzy? It's already gone. He's getting by on knowing what to do,
mm-hmm.
on being a professional, on running great routes. But Larry, I think, would tell you himself the idea he's going to line up and beat somebody just because he's better, more athletic than you. It's not going to happen. That ship has sailed. He's catching balls and being productive because of the experience that he has garnered over all the years of playing in the NFL. And because he is smart and he's a guy who knows how to run routes. And once you throw it to him, he's going to catch it. That has always been his key.
Okay, biggest question that you want to see answered by this team in the offseason?
Man, do you have the guts to bring back the same core? Do you have the guts to say, you know what, something happened in 2015, but we believe we have the same core personnel that is here. And because of it, we believe our roster is capable of winning. Do you have the guts not to make a lot of moves, not to let a Calais Campbell walk, not to let a Tony Jefferson walk? Do you have the guts to say, something went wrong last year, and we're going to fix it, but we have the nucleus. Run them back out here in 2017 and see how it goes.
All right, so in our great state, it's slow time right now. I mean, when you talk about Darryl Washington, Mike Jarecki over at 910 had that Darryl Washington is going to apply for reinstatement into the NFL in 2017. He hasn't played a full season since 2012. So I'm not, that doesn't do much for me. The Diamondbacks are about a month away. Nobody's expecting them to do anything. The Suns are going to Mexico City this week to play two home games. These are two games that Robert Sarver said, I'm going to just give these two up. I'm sure the NFL pushed him or NBA pushed him a little bit. I'm going to give these two games up because I'll probably make more money there than trying to fill up even the lower bowl for Dallas. Or San Antonio. So they're not in town. Mike Smith made the All-Star team today for the Coyotes, and they should trade him. And I'm serious about that because he's their most marketable asset. You know, you should get that done. So I have to look forward to ASU at U of A on Thursday night because I'm a college basketball guy. It's been a terrific college basketball season, by the way. There have been some very compelling matchups, some great games. There's some talent that is out there. This feels to me like the underclassmen, which usually in the way of the NBA, they don't make it to their junior year. I am finding it to be appointment watching. UCLA is here next week, okay? Meaning Lonzo Ball will make his only appearance at Wells Fargo Arena because he is going to go into the NBA after this season. He is going to be here next week, so I'm very much looking forward to that. ASU will go to Tucson to play the U of A. I've watched both teams quite a bit. U of A obviously is a better team right now than where ASU is. U of A fans will say that's always the case. I would say, I don't know. Every year you guys tell me how great you are and you make it into the Elite Eight and you lose. Well, it's fine. Or the Sweet 16 and you lose. Well, it's better than ASU. I'm not comparing the two. They're apples and oranges. One's not a basketball program, really, or at least it hasn't been until the hiring of Bobby Hurley. They still play in a dump. U of A proclaims itself as this great basketball power, and I'm trying to look around for all the championships that you've won in the Sean Miller era. I don't see them. It's fine. You have a program that is good. It's really good, and you guys travel well, and you know the end result. You know, this year the Final Four is here in the Valley. It would be an easy drive for you to go get a ticket and watch the four teams play. Once again, do you tell me straight up, do you believe you have a Final Four caliber team? Because that's what you aspire to be. And every year you don't get there. I mean, ASU at least has a reason. They don't take basketball serious. They haven't. Their facility continues to be a joke. They have brought in a coach who I think has done a good job. And he's learning on the job. He's coaching less than 100, and I think it's like 109 games now. Their roster, they had a top 50 player, didn't work out. He leaves. He immediately goes to Kansas. And so they don't have as deep a team. They're trying to get by with a one-year wonder, a senior, who's been very good. You know, I think Markkanen, the kid from Finland, the big man, I love watching him play. Lauri Markkanen's a lottery pick down at U of A. I'm looking very much forward to seeing him in person on Thursday night. Don't get me wrong. I love very compelling stories of individuals. Team sports, seeing the team go a long way is at second. I look at the person. All of you have a story. All of you have a book. Some of your books are very thin. Some of your books are really thick. Okay. A kid like Lauri Markkanen a year ago was playing in Finland. Does he have any idea what ASU versus U of A means? Probably not. Probably not. People like us who sit here and say, well, there's nothing really going on, so we're going to build up ASU U of A. I'm not playing that game. I think it's pretty important that two Pac-12 teams in state, when they play, that you pay close attention to it. We're going to go to Tucson. I think we're banging out one other. You're banging out a story on the way down.
Yeah, we're going to be double dipping. Got a couple of high school things that need to take care of.
That's fine.
I mean, we're going to be in Tucson. You might as well. I'm going to try to convince
you. We going to EG's?
I don't know. I'm going to try to convince you.
I've never done EG's for dinner.
Oh, I've done it for lunch, dinner, late dinner.
Does EG's have a dinner menu?
No.
What do I get?
It's pretty much the same menu.
Yeah.
They're open.
You get a dog and a...
I get a sub sandwich and an EG.
And an EG, which is just some ice.
And maybe some crinkle cut fries, because those are tasty.
See, and Eric knows all this. It's...
You're dieting, so we may go get you a
salad. I don't know if I'm dieting. I'm just riding more. What do you mean, am I dieting?
You're dieting. You're losing weight.
Do I look like it?
No.
Well, then, stop. It's not nice.
But you told me you lost weight.
I have lost weight.
Okay.
I have lost weight. I've been riding every day, losing weight. That's what you got to do. The game itself shouldn't be a game. Really shouldn't be. But when I see the progress, and look, if ASU goes down there and gets beat by 30, what's new? Really? What's new? But I think in seeing where Bobby Hurley is in year two of this program, he's trying to lay the law down that he's getting it figured out in Tempe, which is fine. So here's a little bit of video between the two coaches leading up to the game Thursday night. Bobby Hurley, his team last Thursday, beat Colorado. Game was on Pac-12 Network, meaning like five of you saw it because it's not on DirecTV. But I saw it because I'm dedicated to my craft and I have a cable so I can watch this network. Here's Bobby Hurley in the locker room talking to his team after a hard-fought win against Colorado, and U of A gets brought into the conversation.
It's not only about tonight, this is about Saturday, yep, too. Yep. So we're really on to something. Be professional, be mature, be smart. Make sure you get your rest tonight, and we'll take care of bodies tomorrow that need to be taken care of, yep, so that we're at our best on Saturday. Because if anyone wants a win here, they better go
If anyone wants to win here, meaning the state, they got to win in bleeping Tucson. So this was after they beat Colorado. Now, I was hoping, and I don't root at all. I don't care. But it would have made it more interesting had ASU beat Utah on Saturday. They didn't. They came up short. They scored over 80 again. They're scoring points. They're one of the better scoring teams, and they're shooting well from the free throw line for the most part. Two things that I look at as teams making progress. Again, some of you will just say this team blows because they win and their win-loss record is this and that. You don't get it when you see how bad the situation is in certain environments. I admire Bobby Hurley hanging in there. Again, when Coach K retires, Bobby Hurley's name is going to be at the top, along with Chris Collins, to go back to Duke. So I hope ASU can keep him here a while. Sean Miller yesterday in Tucson, because they only have one thing that they talk about in Tucson around the U of A. And I could make this joke about ASU as well, but I'll make it about U of A. The words Alonzo and Trier, and then you put them together. And that's all that people talk about. That's all they talk about. A player that hasn't been eligible all season long. They hyperventilate. They speculate. They think this is the day. Is he going to be at media day? Ooh, he's not at media day. Must be serious. Ooh. Well, they lost this game. Well, if Trier would have been here, they would. Well, he's not there. You know, I've seen Alex Barcelo is going to be the point guard at U of A next year. A couple times this year, Corona, he looks bored to me a little bit because he's ready to go to the next level. It happens. Parker Jackson Cartwright played well against Utah, but Parker Jackson Cartwright, when it comes to March Madness, I'm not thinking you're going to go a long ways unless you have Alonzo Trier. But Trier is nowhere to be found. So the only other thing you can ask the coach outside of Trier, and this ended up being the first question, is what did you think about Bobby Hurley and what he said to his team in the locker room? And here it is.
Every coach likes to motivate his team. and maybe use bulletin board material. When you see the video of Bobby Hurley saying how if a visiting team wants to win in the state of Arizona, they better go to Tucson, do the players use that as motivation? Do you use that as motivation?
I really don't. I didn't see it. A lot of people have told me about it. But, you know, Bobby is a great competitor himself. And, the challenge as a coach is to get your team motivated, to have your team ready to play, and to run a program, to build a program. And confidence is part of that. There's a lot of different ways to go about instilling that. I don't think he meant that in a derogatory fashion towards our program or things here in Tucson as much as, making sure that that his guys believe in themselves and know that, the objective is to be a tough team to play against and to win. And, I respect that. I know him, and I know where he's from, know how he's wired, and, he's a great competitor. It's what made him such a terrific player. So things like that happen. In today's world, the behind-the-scenes things sometimes can really be misunderstood, and I think this is a classic example of that.
Classic example. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Boo. Come on. Play along.
You want to take the hook?
Come on, Sean. Say something. Say something. Go off. Be offended.
Isn't it like no fun when I sit here and say I agree with Sean?
Oh, and the sad
part. Do you want me? No.
The sad part is I do too. Of course it's overblown. Of course it's on Twitter and Facebook and all over the social platforms.
I know.
But, Sean, just give us the Sean Miller a couple years ago in Vegas when the refs blew a call and you could see steam coming out of his ears. Don't give me the politician, Sean Miller. Sean's probably thinking to himself, you know what? We've beaten this team so badly in Tucson since James Harden was here. Why do I care about something like this? And the biggest lie was, I haven't seen it personally, but some people told me about
it. But then mm-hmm. he circled back around and said, the access that we have in this day and age.
So disappointing. But yes, I agree with you. It was completely overblown and... I get it. Oh, well.
No, what he said there is true.
And I don't even really think what Bobby said was that bad.
It wasn't
He's excited. They're coming off a big win.
It's 19, 20, and 21-year-olds. How else do you get them excited?
Of course.
And the people that are all latching onto this are 18, 19, 21. When they're, when they're 35 and they're 45 and they're 55 and 65, they're going to look at this stuff and just say, just go play the game. It's kind of like Jerry Reese, the general manager of the Giants, telling Odell Beckham to grow up. That happened yesterday afternoon. But yet there's this whole phenomenon about how awesome and amazing Odell Beckham is and how different he is. And then when it comes to a big game, he doesn't play.
And then don't go punch a wall. Just go face the media and say you dropped some passes and say you're going to improve and say I won't make the same mistake again. Don't go punch a wall.
But it's a little bit similar here in that what Bobby Hurley is doing, he's just trying to motivate some kids. And they are kids. And in Sean's case, Sean doesn't need to worry about a little gnat that's showing up down there. If Sean pokes the bear, it's not a very big bear. It's actually a tiny little bear. Because I do think they're making some progress over at ASU on the court. The minute that they make the announcement that we are going to renovate Dumpy Wells Fargo, and because it is, every time I go in there, somebody knocks over a row of chairs. This doesn't happen in major and it's been happening for 20 years. I walk in there and I'll go sit over in the bunker to visit with somebody. I got to fold my 6'8" frame up. I can't even fit in there. And I see these people during games and they're all crunched together and they've been watching such a bad product for so long that they're just apathetic about it. And I tend to look at things like, no, let's actually make some progress here. And I'm not going to sit here and bag on the program on the floor. Towards the end with Herb just had to wave the white flag. It wasn't going anywhere. Rob Evans towards the end, as nice a guy as Rob was, and he didn't want to talk. He didn't want any part of me or Jude at the end. We were told we weren't welcome at his going away press conference because we just merely, pointed out all of his inadequacies in late game situations. That's all we did. When it was the end of Bill Frieder, Bill knew it was time to go, and it was fine. The program needed a fresh breath. It would be nice to see the president of the university sit center court at, I don't know, like one game and all the way through and be pumping his fist and be really excited and be totally into it. It makes me wonder sometimes when I hear that Sun Devil Stadium now is not going to finish their renovation project because they don't have the money. They're going to postpone it for a little while. And then the basketball program continues to play in the substandard facility. And we wonder why the job at Arizona State, the jobs at Arizona State are mirages. They are mirages. And I'm sitting here doing my business. I point stuff out. I pat guys on the back. I've been a broadcaster of theirs. I won't be asked back because I'm too honest about what's going on over there. You know, Bobby needs support. They're getting better at scheduling, but you still walk into that dumpy arena and that's all it is. You know, Sean has an air about him that I do have this under control. I have all of this figured out. Bobby's trying to get people to care about it. And when the U of A game is played up here, it will be loaded with blue and red, and ASU will try to get to do a, you know, wear your maroon and gold, and the curtain of distraction will be talked about, and all that stuff is fine. But at the end of the day, it's all about what's on the court. I don't need to hear the nonsense. I don't need to hear what color uniforms you're wearing. I don't care, because you're not winning. It's why you're 200-1 in football next year.
I'm going to run something by you real quick.
Yeah.
I want your honest opinion.
By the way, where was I the last 5 minutes?
You always give me your honest opinion. So we have seen the recent past has proven that Todd Graham won on the field, and eventually Todd Graham got not a new stadium, but better facilities, upgraded facilities.
They're not done yet. They don't have money.
Follow me here.
Okay.
If Bobby Hurley does the same in basketball, will the deep pockets and the head honchos and the suits over at ASU be more apt to maybe give him better facilities, i.e. Wells Fargo Arena?
I've heard that for a long time. You would think, Eric, it would make perfect sense and total sense, but there's a defeatist attitude. There's something internally from top to bottom that Ray has tried to change, but I think even in Ray's case, you know, that's a setback when you can't finish the football stadium. That's a setback. You know, it's not as deep a pocketed area as it once was, in my view. And the whole thing that I hear over there is, well, you know, we're in this tough pro sports town and pro sports. I don't get how pro sports impacts you not being able to go recruit the best to stay here. It seems to me, in what I'm hearing and reading about Todd's recruiting class this year, it's going to be heavy local. Okay, so they're going heavy within the state, and they should. There's some players within the state that they should take that are local. But are they taking some players in-state that are local that really aren't the best of the best, but they're just wanting to get more local players and bring them in? I have no problem that Bobby – I had some people that said, well, Bobby was not able to convince Barcelo to go to ASU, and he's a great point guard. Well, maybe Bobby feels as though the point guard he has coming in over in Los Angeles is better. I'm fine with that, and I don't think Barcelo was ever considering ASU. Marvin Bagley, yeah, Marvin Bagley is a tremendous player. Do I think Bobby has a shot at him? I don't, and I hope I'm wrong on that. I'd love to see the kid stay here or to go to the U of A. Ayton, the kid who's going to Tucson, yeah, he's here at Hillcrest Prep. It would be nice to see some of these in-state players. Mitch Lightfoot's sitting on the bench in Kansas. You know, some of these players that decide to get out of here that are high-level players in our state in high school are going to places where they're sitting and not playing. What can Bobby do about that? Torian Graham's been a terrific find for them this year. He really has. Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, Anu Solomon is in the news cycle, as is Darrell Washington. That's next. So Anu Solomon found a landing space, and what is going to make Anu Solomon's landing space fun for us in 2017 is it's Eric's direct competitor in college football. Baylor is your direct competitor, right?
Yes, as a TCU alum, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
TCU, Baylor, everything.
Hate each other.
You guys hate each other.
Hate.
So I'm going to get an objective view from you about Anu Solomon going to Baylor, right?
Sure. I'll tell you what I believe.
He's going to be a rock star there. He's going to tear it up. He's going to go to the NFL.
Here's the deal. They have a new coach.
Yeah.
Came over from Temple. What's his name? Rural?
Yeah. Are you making fun of him?
No, I know he was on the telecast, one of the nine telecasts last night, but I can't remember.
Are you making fun of Baylor?
I'm not.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Okay. Yeah. Baylor has a pretty good true freshman quarterback that played last year, Zach Smith.
Okay.
So if I'm this new coach, I'm either going to bring in a new Solomon to play his last year because he will be eligible and redshirt Smith.
Yeah.
And if that's not the case, I have no idea why a new Solomon would go to Baylor. No idea.
I didn't see the connection. I'd heard Utah State was his first inkling. And you and I both thought UNLV.
This is no shot at U of A football. But if you can't play at U of A, you're probably not going to be able to play at Baylor. That's just...
Wow. Well, that's true. Connor Brewer, right? Went from Texas to U of A. Should have gone to NAU. Had committed to go to NAU.
Correct.
Went to Virginia. Didn't play.
Correct.
Not a shot at Connor Brewer. It's just facts. That's the path. Right? No, I got it. I got it. So is this a good fit for him? I don't know.
And I don't know if the new coaching staff is going to change the offense. Are they not going to go to their run heavy spread that they ran under Art Briles and his cast? Are they going to go into more like of a pro style? If that's the case, then maybe Anu does play. Because Anu is not mobile, and usually Baylor likes mobile quarterbacks.
Don't you think, though, that if you're the guy at Baylor, you should be looking at Texas-linked quarterbacks?
Yes.
Knowing the high school lay of the land there?
Yes.
Is that wrong on my part to presume that?
No. And especially since you burned the red... You already burned... I mean...
Yes.
You didn't burn the red shirt, but this kid played...
He already played. He's going to expect to play.
He's going to expect to play, of course.
Yes. And he played on a team that was thrown in jail, basically.
Correct.
He sucked it up and said, you know what? I'm going to stick with you guys, and I'm going to play here in the middle of all this mess.
So I'm not sure, unless... Anu Solomon was promised something. I hope he was.
Yeah.
Because just looking at it from a distance on paper, I don't think he's going to play next year.
But, I mean, if Anu Solomon were sitting here across me, I would ask him the question, how's school? And he'd say, school's great. I said, what are you majoring in? And he'd say, whatever it is he's majoring in. And then I'd say, you're going to put it to good use next year, right? He's not an NFL quarterback.
No.
I mean, and I don't know if he knows that or not. Is going to Baylor... Baylor's a great academic school. I mean, Baylor has got much, much more great academia than TCU, right?
No, but it is a very good academic school.
Oh, is it on the same par as TCU?
I don't know. There's a lot of good schools in Texas.
Well, you're so political. You're Sean Miller.
It's true.
You're being Sean Miller here.
I mean, it's not Rice. It's not SMU.
Okay, so Baylor finds their quarterback. Let's talk about former TCU Darryl Washington. So Darryl Washington.
A name from my past.
Yes. Did you guys go to school together?
No, we did not. But I'm older than he is. But
really?
Yeah, I watched him play.
Feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
He hasn't been around playing. So Darryl Washington, this came from Mike Jarecki yesterday. And Mike's not wrong very often, if at all. So he does his work. And he's had this relationship with Darryl Washington. Darryl Washington is going to apply for reinstatement into the NFL in 2017. So, Darryl Washington hasn't played a full season of football since 2012. I got tired of being asked about Darryl Washington when it was like a year into it. Like, he's not here. Get over it. A guy that's away from the game that long, I believe it was $2.8 million was the money that he was able to get. That should be enough money to tide you over. But when you're 30 and you haven't played in the NFL and you've had some issues, we don't know the severity or the depth of the issues other than the NFL hasn't commented yet if he's going to be reinstated. But I would have to think he's gone through his money. I would have to think there's some financial side of this that I could still play and I need to help myself out. I could be wrong on that.
If he is clean.
Yeah.
And if he is reinstated, some team will give him a chance.
Cincinnati.
I don't know who. Some team.
Cincinnati.
Some team will give him a chance.
Should the Cardinals?
No.
Yeah, I agree with
no.
you.
No, and I don't think Steve Keim or Michael Bidwell or any of the people over there would even consider bringing him back.
Do they have to recheck that, though? Because, You know, when guys have things that happen off the field, like Michael Floyd, and we saw the uproar of that, and we both think that Michael Floyd's going to be playing the Super Bowl this year.
Yep.
And that he's going to be essentially getting over on everybody that is a fan of the Cardinals. I don't know. I guess they handled Floyd the right way, in my opinion. If they brought back Darrell Washington, is that saying, well, you handled Floyd this way, and this guy, well, he's paid his penance, he's been out of the league.
But you hit the nail on the head, Brad. The guy hasn't played organized football since 2012.
At a linebacker position. It's not like he's, you know.
Who knows what he's been doing? Who knows what he looks like? Who knows what kind of shape he's in?
But if he's a stud.
Well, he was in 2012, right.
I understand what you're saying. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There is plenty of content up on our website, pro, college, high school, college, pro. We do this show every day, Monday through Friday, for an hour, 10 a.m. It repeats. If you're hearing it at 8 o'clock at night, as some of you do, or 2 in the morning, it's fine. It just sits there and repeats over and over and over. And then we do it again the next day. We have our TV show that airs 8 times tonight and tomorrow on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmatz, Football AZ. As soon as we're done with this, we go into TV mode, and we just crank out content all day long. So keep checking out the website, sports360az.com. Thanks for being with us.